Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to spend some time with me today as I continue a message on the subject of joy. I began this week by sharing that there's two different kinds of joy. There's a heavenly joy, and then there's an earthly joy. That's all the world knows, and it's very short-lived and temporary, while the joy that our God gives begins at the new birth and continues on into eternity. Jesus spoke, remember when he was speaking about that well of living water that would spring up in us as he addressed the Samaritan woman at the well. If we would have this, we would never thirst again. That's what he promised. And so when we receive Jesus at the new birth, that deposit of joy is placed within us. Every new Christian is just bubbling over because of their experience in discovering Jesus. And so it's important, though, that we maintain and not only maintain, but grow in joy. And we can do that through love, through studying and loving God's Word, and living in His presence. Psalm 16 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And then I shared that there were physical and emotional benefits. A joy really is a combination of faith and trust. And if you have faith and trust, then you can't worry. Fear robs us so much of joy. And so many people are stressed and anxious and out of sorts and concerned and worried about the future or what's going on in their lives. But joy will dispel that, because that joy that God has given us is not in circumstances. Even in the midst of persecution, we can have joy. And doing His work, we certainly need joy. So we want to look a little bit further at this subject of joy. And we see that our joy comes from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's James 1 and 17. And when we look at the Word of God, I'm thinking now of a prophet, Habakkuk, and it was a very dismal time in which he was living, and his soul was troubled, and there was this conversation going on between he and the Lord. But in the third chapter of that book, verses 17 and 18, he concludes that because he had this encounter with the Lord, because the Lord touched his heart, he was able to say, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vine, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall." That's a pretty bleak picture. That would be like, you know, there's a famine in our land. The market, supermarkets are closed. And goodness, what we're facing right now with the droughts, especially in California, and with the floods in the east, my goodness sakes, there is going to be, at least the price of food is going to go higher. But in his day, he was saying that the fruit is just failing and the fields are yielding no meat. What does he say, though? He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And then in the New Testament, James speaks to us in the first chapter, verse 24, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Notice that the end of the trial not the beginning, but the end of the trial, is the reason for rejoicing with joy at its beginning. So what is that reason that lies at the end? Well, beloved, our trials, your trials, offer you and me the opportunity to become perfect or mature, wanting nothing. So trials are not meant to rob us, they enrich us. Of course, the devil's plan is to let those trials wear you down, rob you, steal your joy, just afflict you in any way he can, mentally, emotionally, physically. But God wants us by faith to choose to be joyful. And beloved, many times I'm convinced it is a choice. It's, well, I can't be joyful. I don't feel joyful. Well, you have to say, Lord, gifts come to him. In fact, let's do that right now. Father, in Jesus' name, there are those that are not feeling joyful at all. You see the pressures, you see the things going on in their lives. And yet, Lord, your word says, even as Habakkuk declared, as difficult, as terrible as those hours in which he was living, he was able to rejoice in the Lord his God. And Lord James tells us that we're to count it all joy. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that we are willing to choose to be joyful. We give burdens to you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to just touch everyone that's just so cast down right now, so heavy laden with the cares of life. And Lord, I ask you to just infuse your joy into their hearts and into their spirits. I just thank you for it, Lord. So, beloved, we just, by faith, need to claim that we are being, you know, as Job said, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as pure as gold. And by faith, we need to accept that. And as we step out by faith, then the actual experience of it will come. So even when in very dire circumstances, sometimes, you know, you may have read Fox's books of the Book of the Martyrs, and it's like, how could they go rejoicing to their terrible deaths? Well, the joy of the Lord is present in a very special way when a Christian is persecuted for the name and the sake of Jesus. Paul wrote that beautiful letter that filled with joy and cheer of the Philippians when he was nearly 70 years old in a dark, chilly, horrendous prison under the city of Rome. And so, beloved, God wants us to just to look to him, to trust him, and to know that he wants to cause our mourning to be turned into dancing. Now, in the 13th chapter of Acts, I'd like to read just a little bit of what is happening here. Paul and Barnabas were preaching in the synagogue in Antioch, and the Gentiles, in verse 42, it says, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. But in verse 45, it says, the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. But I'm going to skip a few verses. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. And in verse 48, it says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. However, now look at the contrast of the joy that was occurring to those who heard the word and were receiving Jesus. But in verse 50, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And then note what verse 52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So, beloved, when persecution comes, the contrast between the believer and the non-believer, the Jews were filled with envy while the persecuted disciples were filled with joy. And Jesus said in John, the Gospel of John, that 16th chapter, verse 22, he said, your joy no man taketh from you. So the joy of the Lord always comes through in persecution for righteousness' sake. There's a passage I'd like to share in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. And then in Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 41, it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. Praise God. Now, another special area that we need God's joy is doing the will and work of God. God's work done God's way requires joy. The joy of the Lord is vital. The Holy Spirit tells us in Nehemiah 8 and 10, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. David knew that he could not influence sinners without God's flowing joy. Psalm 51, verse 12 and 13 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then, I'm emphasizing, then, he says, will I teach transgressors the way, thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So the work of God is effective only when done with the joy of the Lord. Well, beloved, my time is drawing to a close, and I just want to take a moment to encourage you to write and share your prayer requests. I'd like to share just a portion of a letter from a sister writing from Garland, Texas, and she writes, praise God for you, Sister Judith. It means so much to me when you send your letters. I share the things you give us extra with mom and friends. They're such a blessing. In every letter, I generally try to send a poem or something amusing or something encouraging. I just do that because I want to bless my partners as much as I can. And so I invite you to become part of my spiritual family. No one ever reads or answers the mail, and I never share names. We've always kept our mailing lists just between us and the Lord. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.